Got your Bibles. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. My mind's on the children of Israel. I preached a little bit about it this morning. I'm going to do a little bit more tonight. I want you to go to Numbers 13 and stand with your Bibles open. I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight and stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Numbers 13, I'm going to read the first three verses. Then I'm going to go down to verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. And then I might read 14 and 1. And I've got some other verses in chapter 14. I got a great thought for you this morning. This evening. I want to say this to you by way of just prepping you right now. God has some great things for you in 2020. I believe that. I preached this morning. Show me thy glory. He got some things. Now, really, it's going to determine on your attitude and your action whether you're going to get that thing or not. That's where we find the children of Israel. It only, the trip from Egypt to where they were, Chad, only is 11 days. Though it took them 2 years. And then they were going to end up 40 more years in the wilderness, or 38 more years in the wilderness. And I want you to look at it. God was getting ready to bless them big time. You know what? God's getting ready to bless some of you big time. But I want you to know something. You will not get it if you don't believe in it. Stay with me. Numbers 13. The Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their father, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now go down to verse 17. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they dwell in, whether it be tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether they be wood thereon or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Glory to God. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men of Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Amon and Sheshai and Tamai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came, boy, I'm about to get heavy, unto the brook of Ishol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought up the pomegranates and the figs. Could you imagine grapes that took two people? Huh? Just a cluster. Billy Kelly said you could use one of them out and use it as a shower cap. The place was called Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Notice this. Nevertheless, the people will be strong that dwell in the lands, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amorites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and Arthurites and the Canaanites by the sea. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, for we which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. Father, touch this message tonight, just in these next few moments, as I give the folks a final Sunday message of this decade. And God, help me preach like I've never preached before. And I'll praise you. And I'll honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, you are going to find people that were halting between two opinions. And by the way, that has not changed, and it will never change. There's always going to be people of faith, and then there are always going to be people of unbelief. And by the way, let's just put all y'all in one basket today, and I want to tell you what, when it boils down to it, in all this room today, all these people here in this room, you boil down to one or two categories. You're either a man of faith or you're a man of unbelief. You ain't nothing else. You're either going to go cross or you're going to stay back. Somebody help me. Let me ask you something. If I look at you in the face, Kim Wink, and I say, I am getting ready to bless you, all you got to do is get over there and follow my commandment, I'll be with you. God will bless you. It's yours. That's what he told him. And I want to say this to you. Jeremy, Moses didn't send them over there to find out if we could go or not. I think I'm coming down here. He did not send them over there to have a vote. To whether we can go or not. He sent them over there to find out were they big or weak. Did they have a lot or little? And I just, really what I'm sending you for so you can come back and report to me so I can get a plan.
All right.
Not to go over there with doubt.
Come on.
And come back and tell me we can't.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
I'm not sending you over for that. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't for a vote today. God wants you over in Canaan. God wants you into victory. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you more in 2020 than you ever had in your life. And the thing about it, there'll be some say, yep, that can happen. Then some say, nope, can't happen. And all of it's going to be an opinion. Like, opinions are like noses. Everybody got one. Now here's what I'm going to preach on and I'll be done. I know some of y'all feel comforted when I say that. I want to preach on this thought. Closing the door to much more. All right? Chad, I want to give you everything. And all you got to do is take a step of faith, and it's yours. Chad, it ain't going to be that difficult. You just follow my word. Believe in God. It's going to happen. Am I preaching? Now let me give you three things. By the way, we're in the same place as they were. Now I want you all to know. I'm an ambitious guy. I want greater things from Taze Valley than we had last year. And we've had the best year on our record this last year. For our souls being saved and lives being changed and baptisms and what God's done financing. This has been the best. But I want y'all to know something. I'm not settling with this. I believe God can do bigger and greater and more wonderful things for all of us. I'm going to give you three things I want you to think on. Number one, I want you to notice the conflicting reports. Did I not say there's two opinions? And by the way, they sent 12 over there. Let me ask you something, Chad, real deep. This is deep. You'll be able to get it. Did all 12 of them see the same thing? They all 12? They saw. 10 didn't see one thing and 2 saw another thing. Really? Well, let me ask you something. How can 12 people go into a land, carry grapes out that you can haul out, put it as a shower cap, and then 10 of them say we can't do it when they saw the same thing? Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen God save you. You've seen God bless. You've seen God do great things. Every one of you in the room has seen the same thing. By the way, every one of you in the room has heard the same messages all in 2019. But I want to be honest with you. Not every one of you get it. And not every one of you got it. Because you got two opinions. Let's look at the conflicting reports. First of all, there's what I call a majority report. Hold on. Now, I want you all to know something. I've lived my life this way. I don't live my life always listening to the majority. Because the majority of people are living in unbelief. Oh, that's just a fact. Oh, we talk about how great God is and how, boy, where He guides, He provides. And, oh, we talk that big show. But when it comes to living it, we don't live it one day. God help us. Shame on us. They had 10 of them said, what even said this, Chad? In verse 32, it was an evil report. Oh, it's a good land. But nevertheless, they got big tall walls. They got giants over there. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. I want you to know something. Mr. and Mrs. Kent, if you're here, you never will. They put circumstances in the way. They were looking around instead of looking up. I'm going to give you some advice. Don't look out. Look up. Because you aren't looking out, you're going to be disappointed in what you see and what you hear. But if you look up, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of the faith, you'll never be disappointed. Somebody help me. Number two, on these conflicting reports. Look at verse 30 and 31. Then I see the minority report. Two guys. You know who they are? Tell the church who they are.
Caleb and Joshua.
Caleb and Joshua.
Yes, sir.
The only two. Here's what they said. Look what they said. Look at verse 30. Are y'all there? And Caleb steeled the people. I really think this is more like it. He probably got up and said, shut up, you bunch of rebels. Shut up! He steeled the people before Moses said, listen to this. Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. I am thankful. I am thankful that there's still a minority. Not everybody. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't want to be negative tonight. I'm trying to be the most positive I can be. I'll be honest with you. You look at this church a whole, probably when we have a regular service, probably over 1,000. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to tell you. Over half them people, they don't believe it. But I want you to know something. I don't have to have them believe it. I just need somebody faithful to believe it.
Come on.
I just need a Joshua.
Yeah.
And I need a Caleb. I got him. I ain't got but two here. You said, man, out of 12, there's only two. Right here they are. Caleb and Joshua. They're in the minority. They said, we're able.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're able to go over.
Amen. Amen.
See, here's our problem. Go ahead. We'd rather listen to the 10 than listen to the 2. Because see, here's what the 2 had, the 10 didn't have. One thing. Here's your challenge. Let me tell you what your challenge is in 2020. It's simple. Are you going to have faith in God? That's your challenge. You want me to tell you what your challenge in 2020? It ain't big. It ain't deep. You're going to have faith in God. You want me to tell y'all your challenge? You gonna have faith? Are you gonna have faith in God? Somebody help me. I mean, what y'all? Listen, this faith thing's cheap. But a lot of people talk, oh man, living by faith in Jesus above. And then they never act on it. And they don't want you to act on it.
Come on. That's
right.
But ladies and gentlemen, we cannot survive without faith.
Amen.
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 Number two. I really said in my heart I was going to be short today. James David, every time I say short, he says, oh God. Only reason he's in church tonight, Clemson won yesterday. No, I'm kidding. Then I see verses chapter 14, 4 through 9, the collective rebellion. We see conflicting reports. Then chapter 4, the whole bunch gets mad. And they said, let us go back to Egypt. Could you imagine a born again, blood washed child of God who is an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus say this? Let's go back to the world. Watch what they said. Let's go back and eat garlic and cucumbers instead of having grapes and milk and honey. I want you to know I'd rather have a grape milk and honey than I would garlic. And the only time I eat garlic is when I take a peel. Garlic peel. What? Now let me know. First of all, their rebellion says we can't. They said we can't go over there. 13:31. Their rebellious cry. Look at 14:1. And all the people lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept all night.
You're going to make me go over.
I want to tell you something. Don't want to be too harsh. God ain't going to make you do anything. He ain't going to make you do anything. You either do it by faith or you won't do it at all. Because he's done made you a free moral agent. Calvinists were free moral agents. He ain't going to make you do anything. Stay with me. I'm trying to close this. Then I see rebellious murmuring. Oh yeah. Look at verse. They wasn't having Moses Appreciation Day. And all the children of Israel murmured, verse 2, chapter 14, against Moses and against Aaron. You know what that pastor wants me to do. He wants me to sell out. He wants me to pay my tithe. He wants me to go soul winning. He wants me to have the best.
Amen, preacher.
Oh, shame on him. You know why they did that? It's because of disbelief, because of dread, and because of discouragement. Amen. But I won't finish now. I'm going to try to be done. We had the conflicting reports. Always going to be people of faith and always going to be people of unbelief. Then we had collective rebellion. I want to just ask you. Are you a believer and have faith, or are you a rebel? You can't be both. I want you to know something. I'd just soon die before Wednesday before I want to be a rebel and hurt the cause of Christ. I just soon God said, come on, take me home. I got heaven. I ain't going to die. But lastly, I'm done. Number three. Now, I want this to sink in. There was a costly refusal. By the way, when you don't do what God wants you to do, it will cost you. It always costs. And by the way, God doesn't pay all of his accounts on Friday night. But he does have a balance sheet. You can't sin, doubt, and rebel and be faithless and not expect a costly refusal. Now, what I want you to do go over to 14 and 30. I'll give you three things and I'm done. What it cost them. What it cost them. Look at verse 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land. The whole generation died in the wilderness and didn't get to go in. Except two people of that generation. Cost them the land. What's it going to cost you? What is our rebellion and our unbelief going to cost us? Cost them the land. But look at verse 32. Got a little bit worse. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. It cost them their lives. Cost them their lives. Because they all died in the wilderness. How many ever heard of Guy Smith? If you've ever heard of him, raise your hand. How many's ever heard him preach? How many of you did he scare the fire out of you? Me and Marguerite were going out to preach one day, and he had revival fires before Glenn Matthews had that, or whatever that's called. He had it. And he got on the radio one Sunday morning. I was listening to him on the way up to here preaching, or preach. And he said, "You hear me, varmint?" And I took everything serious, the preacher said. "There's some of you going to die early." He said, "You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to sin away your day of grace, and God's going to take you out because you are worthless, and there's no need to have you around if you're worthless." And I'll be honest with you. Marguerite, I'll tell you what I done. I cut the radio off. She said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "I ain't listening to that guy. He doesn't scare me to death." She said, "You love God, don't you?" I said, "I do, but I don't want to. That guy's crazy." Then I turned it back on. He said, "You're going to die." Hold a minute. I'll tell you a story, then I'm almost done. This was in Eleanor, West Virginia. Had a little church over in Eleanor. I held a revival for Roger Carter. How many remember that boy? Probably only two or three of you. I held a revival for him. There was a man in that room who had been backslidden for 10 years. And on Friday night, he came and got right with God. And you know, sometimes you really watch out who you let talk. And I got a microphone. I said, "Would you like to say something?" I never forget it. He said, "Yeah, I'll say something." He said, "There's a preacher got up and preached. And said, if I don't watch out, God's going to take me or take something dear to me away." And I scoffed at him. And I made fun at him. And I got out of church. And Cindy, he said this right loud with a microphone under his nose. And he said, "I want you to know what happened. My wife and me and my five kids were out on the Kanawha River fishing. And the boat capsized. And they all died." And he said it took them all to die for me to wake up and get my heart right. Now I want you to know something. You could go out this door and say, "Oh, I don't fear God. He don't bother me." I want y'all all, Rich, I want you to hear me. I do. I do. I do. I do. I fear him. Hey, you can't just live a rebellious. You can't go out here and get on porn and act like an idiot and do all this stuff and think God ain't going to judge you. You better get right. And if you read the next verse, not only did they lose their land and they lost their lives, but they lost their little ones. I want you to know something. It ain't worth your rebellion to lose your kids. Now, here's how they lost their little ones. They died, and the little ones got to go in. Everybody under 20 got to go in, and everybody over 20 died. I wonder, what am I going to do? James is here. Julia, I think it's back there. I probably haven't been the best dad. Probably could have done better. But I want you to know something. Them two kids, I'm behind them and I love them. And I want God's best for them. And I am not going to stand in their way of God's best. Amen. Hello? I don't want to lose them. I tell you what they do, even to this day, Craig. Unless they're mad. That's usually Julie. I tell you what they do every time they talk to me. They might not even be totally happy with me. You know what they do? Before they leave my presence, you know what they do? I love you, Dad. They do. I love you. I love you. I want you to know something. Baby, man, if you've got kids, you got family, you don't want to lose them. It's costly. You live rebellious, you love to lose them all. Hey, man. Am I preaching? I tell you what. I'm done. I want to go over. You want to go over?
Yes, sir.
You want to go over? How many of y'all want to go over? Raise your hand. You want to go over? I want in victory land.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you, there ain't but one way. It's you to find you an altar and say this. Here's what you need to say. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll trust him with my life. I'll trust him with my land. I'll trust him with my little ones. God, they're yours. You gave them to me. I'm trusting you to take care of it. Stand with me. If you want to go over, why don't you come around the altar and tell God you want to. Father, thank you for this good little service. Little thought tonight. Precious word of God. Touch now as folks come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sing, Tina. Yeah, man.
Amen.